Welcome to Energy Radio. We're doing live on location at the Canadian Biogas Association Value of Biogas East. And really happy to be joined by John Van Lochtenstein of DLS Biogas. John, thanks for doing this. We've never done this before at a show. So you're my first, put it that way. So
honored.
Welcome. So kind of just tell us first about you and kind of your story, and then kind of the broader maybe Dairy Lane story and DLS, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, for sure. So name's John Van Lochtenstein. With my brother and sister, we own Dairy Lane Systems. We also own a few other companies, including DLS Biogas. That's the most relevant one here. And we've been involved in the agricultural space since 1990.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
My parents were doing it before us.
I think I've met your dad once. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
My parents were doing it before us. We took it over in 2010.
Okay.
And kind of have focused and grown into different areas from that time. One of them has been the biogas side.
Yeah.
So we've kind of separated out as a separate company at that point, and really kind of at that point the feed-in tariff program was coming out, or it had come out, and it was kind of an opportunity for us to build biogas plants on farm clients.
Right, so right. Yeah. And this is not kind of part of the discussion, but do you guys kind of as siblings, do you divide the business, or how do you navigate that dimension of, because I'm in a family business, but I don't have, it's uncle, nephew, don't have any siblings,
right.
So I'm always fascinated by it.
So we've grown quite a bit over the years, so
awesome.
From 2010 till now.
Yeah.
And I would say it's gotten easier as we've gotten bigger.
Oh, good. Okay.
So not that it was ever really a challenge,
but
you kind of were working in the same areas, the same spaces, and you'd get into the situation where, say, my brother makes a decision, and then somebody came and asked me the same thing, and I had a different decision.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, who's
right?
Who's right? Right?
Yeah.
You know, you can get to the point that feelings can get hurt,
right.
But you got to look past that. But as we've gotten bigger, that's kind of gone to the wayside because, you know, we just have too much to
too much
to do that we don't have the opportunity to get on each other's toes. And like I've kind of, over the last, say, 5 years, I've been really focusing on the biogas side more.
Okay. Yeah.
But we're still very active together in all aspects of the business.
Because they're really, what I've observed from the outside looking in, really integrate extremely well, right?
For sure. And I didn't do the best job of explaining that, but our dairy equipment business, you know, that's our main business still. And so we're doing milking equipment, manure equipment, basically any kind of mechanical equipment on farm.
Right.
And that's what really kind of gave us that in on the biogas side.
Yeah.
Because it was a natural fit. We were already dealing with all that manure movement, everything like that, the pumps. So really doing the biogas was a natural extension for us.
Now, I remember kind of watching that. Like, how did you got connected to some European, providers? Like, how did that transition of going from a milk supply company to, biogas, EPC technology provider, like walk us through that first.
Yeah, so our history or our start in the space was due to, we had a customer and we were pitching them or pricing them a completely new greenfield dairy barn site.
Okay.
And as part of that, they wanted to do biogas.
Okay.
They wanted to do right by the community. It was in their long-term vision. And that's how we actually got our foothold in the biogas space. So it was kind of our customer that, wanted to do it. Then we started investigating things. This was back in, I would say 2005, something like that. So, quite a while
ago.
Yeah. I was doing the research. I was quite a bit younger at that point, but I was doing the research for my dad.
Okay.
And, it was all theoretical articles on
the
internet. There was no industry in Europe.
No.
Yet. And, so actually, what we ended up doing was they ended up buying a system from a university.
Oh.
It was like more like a theoretical type system.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say theoretical. They had practical applications of it, but like it was something that was developed in the university environment, right?
Right.
And
okay.
That got put in place. It worked okay, not the best.
Yeah.
And lessons learned all around there. But then in the meantime, the feed-in tariff program started coming out, started getting more interest. We realized, hey, we got to do something a little bit differently, started aligning with some German companies because that's where the industry was developing really rapidly.
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of started to you know, really do a lot of trips over there, investigate what they're doing, start to bring a lot of those technologies back. We never lined up with, you know, one particular company.
Right.
It was more like, okay, we lined up with some really intelligent people in the space.
Yeah.
And they kind of recommended and pushed us to, guided us to, you know, different companies that, that provided particular components.
Yep.
And then over the years, we've kind of honed that offering and, you know, North Americanized it, I would say.
Right, okay.
And now we do a lot more of the, like really, if we look at a facility, we're probably, you know, it's the membranes, it's the flares, a few other components. Everything else is either made by us or brought it.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Okay. Wow. And so you're on the DLS biogas side, you're kind of providing the whole facility, equipment, design, construction, is that right? That's kind of the
everything.
The goal,
so,
yeah.
Especially, and we found that was a huge requirement with a renewable natural gas. So when it was electricity generation, the sites were smaller.
Right.
It was easier to kind of piece it out, and the farms took on a bigger portion of the project. You know, we did our biogas portion. The contracting was simpler. We quickly realized that if we want to do that same approach, or that same approach would not work with the renewable natural gas side, we had to take a very, very hands-on approach. The development process is a lot longer.
Yeah.
That's what we've noticed. You know, it can be anywhere from 2 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the farms are busy with their other things. They don't have the time or the energy to spend and dedicate to these projects. So, like, it's a lot more front-end work that we're doing. So we're doing, like the design, contracting, we're helping with the financing, you know, negotiations with banks.
Right, right.
Sometimes partnering with facilities if that's what makes sense. And then, doing the full construction, commissioning, a lot of time after sales operations, and then all the service work and everything like that.
Yeah.
A lot of break fix work.
Yeah, awesome. And we've tried to streamline the podcast for, you know, to have discussions about successful projects with the owner of the project. And so for those who are listening, you do fit that bill as well, even though, you know, because as you've grown and developed, you've gone not only from solutions provider to you're also now taking a role in some projects, right?
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
How do you kind of make that decision as far as when to do that?
So it definitely is something that, like, you know, we're always interested, but it has to be the right project. Like, we have to be, you know, have the right fit with the partners. That's really, really, it comes down to the right fit, and we both have to want that same thing, right? Like, we can't force a partnership on anyone.
Right.
It just doesn't work. You know, the farms, if they want us as a partner, it's usually the best way.
So we've
kind of transitioned into that role as well, but it's not like it's not a hard and fast requirement any means. We still build plants for other people. The majority, I would still say, you know, 70 to 80% are we're building for somebody else.
It's
the other ones where we have, you know, a potential opportunity. But the first time we actually got in was back in 2013, 2014.
Okay.
And it kind of, I don't want to say by accident, it was on purpose, but the farms were kind of in either a succession planning, or they had just undertaken some large capital projects. And it was also around that time when a previous player in the space went bankrupt.
Yeah.
And it just had a little bit of uncertainty in the market, and people were a little bit on edge as to whether they wanted to do biogas. So we said, okay, you know, we want to build you your plant. We believe in our technology. We believe in the program. Let us build it. We'll set a bio structure that you can buy us out.
Okay, cool.
And they had the opportunity, and they still do. They can.
Okay.
They haven't yet. So that's kind of, we got our feet wet in the space.
Cool.
With, running and owning facilities.
Yeah.
And then the last one that we did, which we started up in 2003 or 2023 here, going into 2024, I guess, on the startup side, that one was very intentional to be a partnership.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, we approached it that way from the get go.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And that's the one we really want to talk about now. And, maybe, before we ask you to kind of walk us through the project, talk to us about kind of what was the the starting point? Where did the idea come from? Walk us through kind of that development cycle, as painful as it might be sometimes for you to relive that. But if you will, kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, and some of those things I've blocked out of blocked out of my memory. But so we made a, if I go back to the RNG side, we made like a very conscious effort or a conscious decision, like, if we want to stay in the biogas space, we have to be in the RNG space,
right?
That was kind of, we were very focused on the electricity generating side before that.
Right.
So it just made sense for us to go. So I talked to some of our employees and that makes sense. So we had worked on a RNG project. So we started thinking, okay, what's the next one?
Right.
And, we kind of looked and we said, okay, we have extremely good relationships with our customer that we built this facility at. We've been working with them for 30 plus years on the dairy space, and even the company that my parents took over their business from was working with them before that. So there's an even longer history.
Wow.
Like-minded, and one of the largest, or the largest dairy farm in Ontario.
I didn't know that. Wow.
So it was kind of like, okay, this is an ideal candidate. So we went, actually it was my brother, I believe, that went and just approached them and said, hey, is this interesting?
Yeah.
And we had talked to them previously about biogas and it wasn't really the right fit, but this time it started to feel right for both parties.
Yeah.
And so we just started going through that development process with them.
Yeah.
So I kind of think my brother initially talked to them on it, and then I kind of took it from there.
Okay.
And we started to try to figure out how to do this. And there is no playbook, right? Like this is all like figuring it out from the ground up.
Maybe we'll pause there and let you kind of introduce the we've kind of talked around it, but introduce the project and describe it. And then we'll kind of go through maybe some of those other development stuff. So walk us through the project first.
Sure. So the project's located in Aylmer, Ontario. It's on the Walker Dairy Farm. So it's, roughly 1,800 milking cows on that particular farm. Really, really unique site because they actually do like on-site milk processing as well.
Okay.
So, they really got the full, the full circle there. Okay. Really good story. So the project is, we're basically taking all the manure from that farm. They have several other farms that we're not taking the manure from.
Yep.
We're taking manure from that on-site farm, pumping it into the digester, and we're doing a co-digestion with off-farm food waste.
Okay.
So we are the first site that was regulated under the new nutrient management rules in Ontario.
Okay.
So we're a 40,000 ton site at that, 40,000 tons of off-farm material that we can take into it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we're producing renewable natural gas. So we produce biogas, we upgrade it to renewable natural gas. We have a direct pipeline injection. So we're injecting it into the EPCOR franchise area.
Okay.
So it's a small utility within the kind of encircled by the Enbridge utility.
Right.
Okay. That comes with, its own host of challenges. They've been really good to work with, but you're kind of in an islanded utility.
Right. Okay.
We're selling the gas that we produce there to Fortis in BC.
Okay.
Under a long-term 20-year contract. And I think that.
And it was kind of built in late 22, 23, kind of commissioned late 23, 24. Is that kind of the time?
Yeah, I would say 23, 24, it was kind of commissioned.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's up and running now?
Yes,
for
sure.
Okay, cool. So what are some of the key kind of steps in development? You mentioned, I think, contracting, is a permitting piece. It is it's not Ontario's first RNG, but there was one in Woodward wastewater treatment plant that's been there for a while, but it was one of the first and the first dairy RNG?
No, it was the second one.
Okay.
We were involved on the first one as well.
I didn't know which one went first.
We built the first one as well, not the upgrading side of it, but we did the biogas side of it. And again, another long-term customer. We're not a partner in that facility.
Right.
That was a pure sale transaction.
Right.
But it's one of the first, right?
And
it was the first one in the EPCOR franchise area.
Okay.
Right? So there's, there's that side of it as well that you're really, I don't want to say the educating is not the wrong word, because we are all educating ourselves throughout the process.
Right,
but like,
right.
We're all, you know, getting people comfortable with RNG and the
right.
idea of us producing gas within their system.
Right, right,
right. That was.
And was that a more difficult or nuanced conversation because of the fact that they're a smaller utility, not really on an island, but kind of like, was that from an offtake perspective and a flow, like that played into the project a bit, right?
For sure. So I would say like the biggest impact was on the flow side.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Since they are this kind of, in essence, the gas only goes into that utility,
right?
It doesn't come out of the utility. So everything that we produce and other producers that are in that area, it has to be consumed within that network.
Right.
So no issue in the winter.
Right, of course.
In the summer,
becomes
a bit of an issue. So we knew that going in, right? But the project still had a lot of merits behind it that it made sense to build it still.
Okay.
Now, like from working with a smaller utility, it was really good. Like we still have weekly touch point meetings
them. Okay.
You know, good relationships.
Yeah.
Usually 5 or 6 of them on these calls.
Wow.
You know, gas supply, engineering side. Just want to know like how things go that
right,
week. I'm
right.
sure they'll kind of start to drop off as we, you know,
yeah.
get more and more used to it. But they're very like, they're very involved.
Yeah.
And they're very approachable too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like that was a really nice thing, is that, you know, you can call them on the phone. They
right.
pick up. You know, they're there.
That's
and they've been really good to work with.
And so then on the offtake side, you mentioned Fortis BC. Was that a difficult process? How did that go?
It wasn't a difficult process. I shouldn't say that. Fortis was really good to work with. They have really good people to work with. I think part of it is it's a new area for all of us, right? When we were doing this, it was the first time we had seen a RNG offtake contract.
Yeah.
There's a lot of terms that are different than what you're used to in the electricity space.
Right.
You know, they have gas EDIs, and it's like, what the heck is this? And, you know, and they have delivery points of the gas, and it's like, okay, like, how do the mechanics of this transaction actually work? Like, now, looking back, I understand it very well, but, you know, at that point, it's like...
So, since you understand it very well, let's put you on the spot then. So, you're making biogas, you're upgrading it in Aylmer. You mentioned Fortis BC for our American listeners, that's the other side of Canada, like a long way. Like, how does that mechanics work from Aylmer, Ontario to somewhere in British Columbia?
Right. So essentially what's doing, like the molecule is not moving,
right?
The molecule is being consumed within the Aylmer franchise area. So we have a gas agreement with EPCOR.
Okay.
So they are purchasing our, you know, brown gas essentially. And we are using that money. It's the same thing as what you essentially do with Enbridge, but we're using that money and we're buying gas in Alberta.
Oh.
So our trading hub with Fortis is NIT or AECO.
Okay.
Right? So we're buying gas in Alberta, and then we have a handshake agreement with Fortis. So like we basically transfer the gas that we bought in Alberta to Fortis.
Okay.
And from there they move it into their network. And there they're actually transporting the physical commodity, because it goes from that that's their basin or where they
And does that apply to, we often talk about kind of the molecule and the attributes separately. How does that get sorted out?
Right. So the attributes we attach to the gas that we sell to
Fortis. You do? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So it is a bundled transaction.
Got it. Okay.
So we are selling them the attributes with the gas.
Okay.
So the gas that EPCOR is buying, it's just displacing other system gas that would be produced within their network. So there's a bunch of gas wells within that Aylmer area.
Yeah.
There's also an offshore producer that's pulling gas from Lake Erie and pumping it into the EPCOR area.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're obviously Enbridge has 6-7 different connection points into the system. So when we produce gas, they typically just use less gas from somebody else.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So EPCOR is buying from you the molecules, you're taking that molecule money and buying different molecules in Alberta, but then the attributes don't have to go through that process. You're selling the attributes directly. Is that right?
Well, the attributes, we just attach it to the gas that we're selling.
Got
to.
Molecules you're buying in Alberta, you attach to that the attributes.
I mean, it's not like we're actually physically doing anything, but it's like we're attesting that we're giving all the
attributes
with the gas.
Okay.
There's no like physical transaction that's occurring. It's more a paper transaction that the attributes associated with the gas we
Got
produced,
it.
and that we are selling to Fortis is going to them.
And is the whole volume is contracted for a certain period, or is some of the gas, I know some people kind of keep some in reserve to sell it. You've contracted the whole project?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Always an answer like that.
Right, yeah.
When we went into this project at the onset, we contracted with what we expected to be the maximum output of the facility. We decided throughout the construction that we'd make the facility a bit bigger. We also thought that we would make the facility a bit bigger. The upgrader, we ended up upgrading to a dual compressor unit.
Okay.
Instead of a single compressor unit for various reasons, but we liked that idea. And when we did that, we actually got a little bit of a boost in capacity. So right now we have excess capacity versus what we've contracted for.
Got it. Okay.
So we do have some.
Okay. Yeah, spare. Yeah. And can you, I should know this, but can you kind of accrue those attributes and sell them, you know, 2 or 3 years from now even?
You could, for sure. Okay. Like, it depends on, like, if you're in Enbridge's franchise area, you're transferring the gas to Dawn, right? That's their trading hub.
Yes.
And they have a requirement, and I don't know exactly, like, what it is, but they have a requirement that you have to clear out your account, right? Yeah, so you have a limit as to how long you can actually do that for.
Yeah.
But, if you didn't have that limit, you could technically accrue that for ever.
Okay, right? Got it.
Because the transaction of selling the gas, like our transaction of selling the gas locally, is independent of the Fortis transaction.
Right.
They're two different things.
Yeah, got it, yep.
When you're with Enbridge, it's slightly different because you're basically, they're not buying the gas from you. You're actually paying them a service to get it to Dawn.
Yes.
And then you're selling it to somebody else at
Dawn.
It's a slightly different. But beyond that, like, you sell it at Dawn, you use the money you got at Dawn, and you buy gas at Alberta.
Yeah.
It's the same mechanics other than that first little component of it.
Thank you for walking us through, because that's probably the clearest I've ever heard that explanation. So that's great. Were there, kind of stepping back, were there any kind of big surprises as you guys did the project that kind of, we didn't either pleasant or negative surprises?
Well, I mean, the biggest pleasant one was having the excess capacity.
Right.
That was definitely the best one. In terms of negatives, trying to think now. I try to block those things out of my mind. But,
or were there things where if you could go back in time and do it over again, you'd do differently?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure there are.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, you've suppressed them.
I've suppressed them. Like, you know, I think we did some things right, in the sense that, you know, we made the facility big.
Right.
We have lots of buffer capacity there. You know, lots of buffer capacity. Like, I was at a thing last week in Quebec, and I was giving kind of lessons learned, so maybe that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's... But, like, I think, you know, we entered into this before knowing maybe all the things or risks in the market and everything like that. I'm not saying we wouldn't do it if we knew everything, but, like, you know, as the market's developed, we've learned a lot more, too. You know, back then, you talked about carbon intensity, but, you know, it was not as much of a...
Right, okay, yeah.
...much of a... a driver in these discussions as it is now. So, you know, just really understanding, like, the contracts you're entering into and everything, that's huge, right?
Like, yeah.
We had a few things with, even on our Fortis contract that, you know, we've since changed.
Okay.
But, you know, could have been not the best situation we stayed. Right, okay. So.
Yeah. And the partnership, you know, with the farm, I mean, how did that work itself out during, you know, construction and commissioning and now operation? What does that look like?
Yeah, they've actually been like a fantastic partner to work with.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of it is they've taken a pretty like hands-off approach.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So they are informed. They want to know about every, you know, important decision and everything like that. But in terms of, you know, the technical side and building the facility, it was kind of a little bit of a hands-off approach, which is nice.
Yeah.
Right? Because then we can build it build it as we would want it built.
Yep.
So that was really, really good. And even from an operations, like, we are running the facility from an operating point of view.
Yeah.
they're helping a lot with like the feedstock side of things.
Yep. Okay.
We're playing into our own strengths, really.
Sure.
Right. They know, okay, you guys know how to build the facilities. You guys know how to operate the facilities. So do that. We're not going to try to do
right.
that.
Yeah.
The same thing on the feedstock side. Like they know how to deal with huge volumes of manure and other kind of things.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's not our specialty.
Right. Totally. Right? Totally.
So
yeah.
That's been nice. Like complimentary.
Yeah. That's cool. And then is it too early to tell from a kind of performance perspective in terms of, you know, I mean, uptime, it might be too early to tell, but in terms of getting the gas that you thought you were going to get, or how's that going?
Yeah, it's been going well. Like it's, you know, we've definitely been up and down a little bit. Not in a bad way.
Right, right.
But, you know, we've had really, really good weeks.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
Where you have good feedstock stream coming in. And, you know, we're producing, the pipeline has lots of capacity and we're producing lots of gas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and we've had other weeks where it's kind of gone down a bit. So like what I've learned, and maybe this is one of the lessons learned too, is that like when you're building these facilities, you know, say you're building a 100,000 gigajoule facility, don't buy an upgrader that makes 100,000 gigajoules you know, I would say, look at that as an average, right? Because you're going to have those periods where, you know, you're going to produce 120.
Smart. And
you're going to produce 80.
Right.
And you want to get to 100.
Right.
But you got to be able to go up and down.
And you have some storage capacity, but not enough to accommodate that, right?
No. So we do build like large tanks, but we have somewhere like, you know, maybe 8 hours of on-site storage.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
We typically try to run our tanks at, you know, 30 to 40% gas bag.
Yeah.
And then, so if we have a process upset or if the system turns off for whatever reason, we're not losing the gas.
Yeah.
What
we
really try to avoid to do is flare the gas.
Right. Yeah.
And
we've
had a few flaring incidents, but not significant by any stretch.
You might as well light a pile of $100 bills on fire, right? That's,
that's
what you're doing.
Yeah.
At least.
No, it is painful when you see it and you're like, okay, let's go.
Right.
So, you know, it's nice having that buffer capacity you know, and it's another thing too about the RNG space versus the electricity that's always been nice, or that has been nice because we have the other two electricity generating sites.
Right.
Like you can build up or you can make back gas production,
right?
Because you can ramp up your upgrader and you can go over.
Right.
There really is no limit other than what the pressure is in the pipeline.
Right. Which that was never a possibility with electricity.
No, if you lost a kilowatt, you lost
the
kilowatt.
Get that back. Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
You know, even if we're off for a little bit and we have that, as long as we're not flaring, we typically can make that back.
Right.
You know, we have some unique challenges at the site with some pipeline restriction and stuff like that. But in general, you can make it back.
Okay, cool. And what would you, as we kind of wrap up here, what would you say to somebody who's maybe early on in a project like this? What are some things you did advise them to, you know, think about or do, or who to talk to, or that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, come talk to me.
There we go. Good.
No, I would say like the big things for me, like, you know, understand your feedstock, what you're going to be putting in.
Yeah.
Understand also though that the feedstock you think you're going to be putting in is not what you're going to actually be putting in.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to design flexibility in the system because, you know, situations are going to change. New players are going to come in the market. You're going to lose access or gain access to different feedstocks. But going back to that feedstock recipe, you know, hone that down to what you think it's going to be, you know, get somebody to help with CI modeling so you really understand what the value is in the gas.
Right.
Because everything comes back to CI now.
Yeah.
More than when we were doing our contracting
back then.
So really hone in on what the CI is. You know, work with somebody that knows how to, you know, work with the off-takers and get you a good contract.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And then once you get those kind of things lined in, contract, the off-take contract, you know, then start planning the design and everything of the facility.
Yeah.
So that's the most important thing is, you know where you're going with the gas. That's what's building, that's what's paying for the facility.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, I've seen a lot of facilities where like you're doing all this design work ahead of time, but you don't actually know what your revenue stream is going to be.
Right.
And I actually like to look at it the other way and say, okay, what's attainable here with the feedstock that we're going to put in?
Right.
You know, if we can only get $20 a gigajoule, then we have to either not build a facility or completely change how we would build the facility.
Yeah.
But if we can get 35, 30, you know, it changes what you might do.
Yeah, it's a great point. Like we often see that in project development where people will put the cart before the horse and they'll get all excited about doing planning and engineering and, you know, fundamental stuff like gas interconnect or electrical interconnect or a business case that doesn't work. And it's like, and in some rare cases, they go all the way to build something and then you have a white elephant.
Yeah.
That's no good for anybody,
no.
Right? In the whole industry, right? So yeah, I'm glad you drew that out. That kind of front end stuff is really, really important. So,
yeah.
So what's next for you guys? That's a question I like to ask is what's, to the extent that you could share, of course, but you know, kind of what are you dreaming about? What are you excited about? What's next?
Well, we have lots of projects in various stages of development.
Good.
We're hoping to start construction on our next facility.
Okay, cool.
In about 2 months or so.
Okay,
we're just working through some permitting and everything.
Excellent.
And then we have several other ones after that that'll be
and they're all RNG at this point.
Correct.
Yeah,
they're all RNG projects.
On farm still?
Yep.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Right. we've like that's our strength, right?
Yep.
The on farm side of it. We have so much history and experience, and it's our comfort zone too.
Yeah.
So that's huge for us to stay in that space. And then at the site we have in Aylmer, we're looking at options for how to move some of that gas where we have restrictions, right?
Yeah.
So that's an exciting opportunity too.
Yeah, cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah, there's always something.
There's always something. No, I get it. Yeah, good. Well, John, this has been great. Thank you for carving out your time. I know you're busy. I think great insight from a unique perspective as a solution provider and now a system owner, right? So that's, I think, been a very helpful perspective. So, appreciate you sitting down with us and look forward to kind of watching what you guys do next. So, and to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to our live recording here at the Canadian Biogas Association Value Biogas East. And stay tuned, more to come.